This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wah Pagan Umpake Pagan alongside Ian McNally. Terminal is the brand new movie from first-time director screenwriter Vaughn Stein. It stars Margot Robbie, Simon Pegg, Mike Myers. It is Terminal, not The Terminal. That's the Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg movie about the guy stuck in an airport.
This one takes place. No, it's nothing at all like that. It takes place purely in a train station.
In a train station. It's nowhere near as fun. But anyway, Vaughn Stein is actually the second unit director on a whole bunch of movies you've seen.
He has 29 credits as second unit director or assistant director.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean, On Stranger Tides, Deathly Hallows Part 2, World War Z, The Danish Girl, Beauty and the Beast, and he's made the leap. Right now, if you don't know, the second unit director is actually a really important position. I mean, he's the guy who goes out and directs all of the action sequences, all of those side pieces, right, that make the movie what it is.
Unsupervised, generally.
Exactly.
While the director's doing the prestige stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. So he's got the chops.
Yeah.
He just got a little carried away with this movie because it's all over the shop.
Yeah.
All right, Margot Robbie plays Annie, who is a waitress, who is a contract killer.
Got it.
Who is an occasional pole dancer at a strip club.
Wait, I think, go back one. I think, no.
Yes, who is also out on a mission of revenge.
Okay.
The movie's a revenge fantasy, only you don't know any of that until the last 10 minutes where they explain it to you, just in case you missed everything that's happened.
But these aren't really spoilers because the movie doesn't seem to know these things either.
No.
Like, it introduces all these characters. This movie wants to be Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
It wants to be Sin City meets Atomic Blonde meets Lock, Stock meets John Wick.
The only problem is it's 20 years too late. 20 years, 30 years. Yeah. 1998 was Lock, Stock, right?
20 years, yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge... I mean, they even cast Eddie in Soap.
Yes!
Nick Moran and Dexter Fletcher from Lock, Stock are in this. And it's like... Nick Moran got the better deal. He's like, I'll be in it for a bit, but I don't want to be in this whole thing. Because there's a setup of basically... What's the movie with Bruce Willis where he goes to town? It's like it's not Rashomon. It's the one where everyone kills each other and he's the last man standing.
Last man standing.
It seems to
not
set
Dead Man Walking. That's another one.
That's a very different thing. It seems to be setting itself up as that. Like you're told in the opening of this movie, there's a hitman. You get a hitman because of the slang they're talking about. There's contracts, and I want your work. So I'm going to get your interested partner players who want to take over your business. I'm going to play them against each other. And you think, that's great.
Great setup for a John Wick-type film.
Yeah, and then one of those interested parties is just kind of dispatched in a 3 weeks earlier thing, which again, stop doing this.
Happens in a series of flashbacks, but doesn't actually follow through because they say 3 weeks earlier once.
And then it doesn't tell you when they stopped being 3 weeks earlier.
No.
And I was getting very... And making your 3 weeks earlier ident the same kind of cool neon look you have going for your outside shots doesn't make it any cooler. It's not big and it's not clever. Stop it. It's basically a lazy crutch.
Can we also please agree once and for all to just leave Lewis Carroll alone?
Yes. Don't...
Just stop it. The whole movie is littered with the most inane Alice in Wonderland references. Like, they just slap you around the face with it like a trout.
Yeah, it's like I expected Neo to turn up when it said, like, follow the white rabbit. It's like, come on. They keep referring to a sense of mystery as the lost art. And it's like, well, this isn't mystery. The thing that kept running through my head is, have you ever seen the M. Night Shyamalan sketch on Robot Chicken?
Yes, I have.
Where he just turns up and goes, what a twist! And it's like, that's not a twist. It's like oh, you thought it was an apple, but it's an orange. It's like, what a twist! This movie tries to do that, but just drags out weird parts. There's a climax that happens two-thirds of the way through?
Yes.
The actual explanation of everything, you've already figured it out, but the movie still takes 10, 15 minutes?
Oh, no. The motive behind this movie takes so long to unravel that it feels like they're just prolonging it because they realize that a feature film needs to be at least 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what it feels like because you've worked it out. And even if you haven't worked it out, the way they catch you up is that they literally talk at you for the last 10 minutes of the movie.
There's a character tied to a chair in a room, like, and it looks a little bit like Room 101 from Brazil.
And the character's like, essentially, what's going on?
Yeah, and you're like, oh God, I'm that guy. I'm tied to the chair. Are they going to tear my teeth out? I'd prefer that to what they're doing right now.
At my screening, four people left.
Yeah, three at mine. But really? Mine was middle of the afternoon, so.
Okay. Mine was a night screening, and four people just got up and walked out about halfway through.
About halfway, same here.
Yeah.
It's just, Margot Robbie's listed as a producer, but there's also like a raft of producers, and I can see the attraction for an actor to say, well, I get loads of meaty dialogue, but it's all just mean-spirited and doesn't go anywhere. It's not snappy.
No, but it's trying to be snappy. It's trying to be cute and philosophical and smart, and it's the kind of thing I think would read well on a script.
Mm.
Because if you were an actor going, oh, look at this fun little meaty line that I get to deliver.
And also, I'm in like 83% of the movie for Margot Robbie.
But it just doesn't work.
No.
The lighting's amazing, though.
The lighting is, this is one of the most beautifully lit awful movies I've ever seen. I mean, I love Simon Pegg, and I'm like, I'm watching his character as well. Even before we get revelations about his character, I'm like, maybe you should have got on that train.
He steals a couple of laughs.
Yeah. That's because he's Simon Pegg. It's got nothing to do with the movie.
You're right, exactly.
Because he's playing older, slightly creepier Simon Pegg.
He's got a beard that kind of renders him almost unrecognizable.
No, you can write it, Simon Pegg.
Yeah, it's Simon Pegg, okay. Yeah, but he's an English teacher with an undiagnosed, incurable disease, and he's looking for a way to die. I mean, you can literally sum up all of these characters. I mean, Mike Myers plays a crippled station master.
The moment you see, you're like, he's doing a bit.
He's doing a bit, and he has the most incredibly just predictable plot line ever.
Yeah.
As soon as he steps on screen, you're like, I know who you are.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, he's not Peter Sellers. I think Mike Myers wants to be Peter Sellers, where he can just disappear into these roles. But the problem is he keeps reappearing out of them at the end to say,
I'm Mike Myers.
And that just looks weird. The fact that Simon Pegg is dying in this is like something that's like, it's just leapt to. All of a sudden, he's smoking because of a medical condition, and she says, oh, you're dying. It's like, what? The clever plan in this movie all hinges on people not being annoyed enough with the other person talking at them to not just leave, which the audience, as we've heard, seen, has done. Like, they just, there's long, drawn out, nasty conversations that, like, Simon Pegg gets to have a little bit of, it feels like banter, but there's some hitmen having a, like, supposed mad bants that just come off as like, just shoot him now and get it over with.
No, the funniest bits are probably these two guys, muggers, who are trying to rob them and failing miserably.
Lenny and Raymond, right?
Yes, Lenny and Raymond. But they have absolutely no part other than that. They just slipped into the movie as a gag.
Do you know why they're in it?
Has no payoff.
Because it's Neville Longbottom and Sean from This Is England.
Is that Neville Longbottom?
He's all grown up. And he's robbing people in train stations.
Wow.
And that's probably why he's in it, because it's like, oh, we'll give our friends a job. And they lit
and those. It's a fun gag.
The two bumbling guys on the platform, they just walked in from Lock Stock. Like, that is a very, very, very stock kind of group from that thing. The British crime drama, people forget Lock Stock was a great thing because it was fresh and new. You can't do that again, even if you slather it in neon.
And even if you put a Sin City Atomic Blonde lens on it, right?
And you set it all in a single train station budget. Yeah. That's a good use of budget, though, I suppose.
Yeah, very good use of budget. Yeah. But
some beautiful,
also,
the nightclub scenes are amazing.
Yeah, but you don't utilize the terminal.
Yeah.
You don't utilize the train station. Yeah, sure, they're at a diner at the end of the train station, which looks nothing like any British diner ever.
I don't think there's even any trains in this movie.
No, the trains are late, remember? They're not running.
Well, the 404 is coming later, but...
Yeah, no, this movie was so painful. It was so painful and so boring because you'd figured it out. Actually, no, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I didn't figure out the big twist at the end, but there was nothing to figure out because nothing throughout those 2 hours or an hour and 45 minutes actually hinted that that big twist was the big twist. I'm talking about the relationship between the characters.
Oh, that. No, because that's not a twist. The twist is dependent on you knowing some information and that information turning out to be true or untrue or something like that.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. It's just like, oh, by the way, like
we'll just drop it in.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to give you the emotional resonance necessary so that Margot Robbie can go on a killing spree.
Yeah.
Now.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
She's also got a terrible accent.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there because she is English, isn't she?
Is she English? I thought she was Australian.
Maybe she's Australian.
She's
I thought she was English. But like, she's playing it as this weird version of Harley. Like, she, the bottle blonde hair doesn't help either.
No, she's channeling Harley Quinn on so many levels, but she's not insane, even though she spells it out to you within the first couple of minutes.
Unless the scene demands it.
I am crazy, you know.
Unless the scene demands it, in which case she is, but then after that, she's not. It's uneven. Literally, the Thy Name Is Uneven movie.
Yeah, and both Ian and I, we read the cast list and we were like, how could you go wrong with this?
We were like, why haven't we heard of this movie? And we're like,
this is why. Yeah. This is why. All right, Terminal is showing in cinemas. If you do happen to see it, let us know if you liked it or if you thought it was rubbish like we did.
Yeah.
I'm on at Uma Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.